Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific Time. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. Many of you can't make it to Rancho Cucamonga. And you can always join us on our live stream at 9 a.m. on Sundays. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. Write your name in there. We'll chat with you. We'll pray with you. We'll fellowship with you. We want you to know that you're not alone, especially during this season of Advent. We want you to come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. This is the second week of Advent, and I've titled this series a little bit of title anyway, Gifts of Christmas or Emmanuel, God with Us. What gift of Christmas are you hoping and praying for that you'll receive this year? What gift of Christmas are you waiting for and longing for? The first week of Advent, we light the candle of hope, and this week we light the candle of love. Have you ever thought of hope and love as gifts? Well, it is my hope that we can look at the life and the love of Joseph and Mary in a few minutes in our time together. Before we turn to our scriptures today, let us come to the throne of all hope and love. Let us pray. God of hope and love, fill us with your hope that we will never, ever be hopeless. We'll be filled with hope. Your hope will never disappoint us, and your everlasting, eternal, and unfailing love will never end. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grab your Bibles. We're going to be in Isaiah 7:14. We're going to be in Luke 1:26 through 38. And then we're going to jump to Matthew 1:18 to 24. Let us listen for God's word. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then we're going to read Luke 1:26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." The angel left her. And then we're going to hear Matthew's account. This is how Matthew recorded in chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with a child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Wow. I know you probably have heard these stories or you've read them over and over again, but God's word is a living word. These passages, well, they're rich and they're deep with theological themes. There's the virgin birth, the naming of the Messiah, the fulfillment of the promise from the prophet Isaiah. We could spend weeks and months looking into the significance of the virgin birth and why it is important to know that Jesus Christ is fully divine and fully human. Matthew uses the first 16 verses of his gospel to clarify and establish the human side of Christ by listing the genealogy of Christ. Next, our thoughts are turned to how the Holy Spirit implanted the seed of the Son of God into Mary's virgin womb. Folks, in seminaries all over the world, these are deep theological discussions and debates. As I prayed about the message this week, the Holy Spirit impressed upon me to look at the promise found in the name Emmanuel, God with us. Let's talk about God with us for just a moment. There's Mary's encounter. There are some striking similarities between what happened to Zechariah and to Mary. Both are visited by an angel. The angel's name is Gabriel. Both are given what seems like an impossible promise involving a child. Old Zechariah is promised that his son would be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. The other son would be conceived by the Holy Spirit in his young mother's womb. The similarities end there. Mary is a young teenager from a peasant town called Nazareth in the region of Galilee, about 80 miles from Jerusalem. She was betrothed or pledged to be married to a carpenter named Joseph. Betrothals meant more than an engagement as today. It was a binding contract. Any breach of it was considered adultery. To get out of it, you had to initiate divorce proceedings. Frederick Buechner's book of character sketches of people from the Bible has this to say about the angel Gabriel as he encounters Mary. This is what he said, quote, "She struck him as hardly old enough to have a child at all, let alone this child. But he had been entrusted with a message to give her, and he gave it. He told her what the child was to be named, who he was to be, and something about the mystery that was to come upon her. You mustn't be afraid, Mary, he said. As he said it, he only hoped she wouldn't notice that beneath the great golden wings, he himself was trembling with fear to think that the whole future of creation hung on the answer of a young girl. Have you ever thought that all creation hung in the balance of Mary's response to God's call and God's promise? Have you ever thought about sometimes when God is calling you and asking you to respond, what hangs in the balance? Let's talk about Joseph's encounter for just a minute. In the entire Bible, we are not told much about Joseph, the husband of Mary. All that is said about him can be summed up in a few words. Joseph was a righteous man, a son of David. Joseph lived in Nazareth and was most likely a carpenter like his father. Have you ever really paused and stopped to ponder who and what Joseph was? He had just been promised a bride. Joseph and his father had gone to the home of Mary's father and negotiated the bride price. In the Jewish culture, the father of the groom and the groom paid a substantial bride price for the bride's family. This dowry was equivalent to the price of a new home. And in fact, here's how the negotiation worked. The groom-to-be would go back to his father's house and begin to build a house on his father's house. This new home built for him and his bride-to-be would be built onto the side of his father's house, separate but an extension of the already existing home. Does this sound familiar? In the Bible, Jesus is referred to as the bridegroom, and we, the church, are mentioned as the bride of Christ. In John 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he must go to his father's house and build a place for us, because in his father's house are many rooms. Wow. Now that's some deep theology. Take and ponder that for a moment. Talk to Joseph. What was going on in his mind? He was back at his father's house preparing a place for his lovely bride. He was working, planning, dreaming about his future and the life he and Mary would have together. What were his hopes and dreams? Was he thinking about how many children they would have? What were his dreams? Would they all be boys? Would they all be girls? Maybe he was hoping to build up his father's business so that they could have two camels and lots of sheep. Was Joseph dreaming of taking, an annual vacation to the Sea of Galilee, enjoying some time off? Was he hoping and dreaming of taking the family up to Jerusalem for the yearly festivals? Joseph was a pretty happy man at this point in life. He was going to be married and his life was looking pretty good. And then one day it all came crashing down. Mary was pregnant. How could this be? What would people think? What would people say? His beautiful bride-to-be was pregnant? Mary had told him about her encounter with the angel Gabriel and what the angel said. Mary, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary, don't be afraid. You're going to be with a child and name him Jesus. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. Nothing is impossible with God, Mary. Wow, I am sure Mary cried as she told Joseph the news. Does Joseph believe her? No. His dreams are shattered. His hopes are dashed. His plans for the future are finished. You've been listening to the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is the Seed of Faith. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team at the Seed Christian Fellowship would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. Write your prayer down. If you have a question, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. And we're talking about Joseph right now. Joseph, does he believe Mary? No, his dreams are shattered. His hopes are dashed. His plans for the future are finished. We're told that Joseph was, quote-unquote, a righteous man. Instead of making Mary's pregnancy public, Joseph decides to, quote-unquote, dismiss her. The Greek word Matthew uses is apaluo, and it means to set aside or put away or dismiss. It is a common word used in their culture for divorce. Joseph did not want to disgrace Mary. He could be stoned for turning up pregnant and not married. Joseph loved her deeply, but he did not believe her. He decided to set her aside, put her away, and dismiss her. All of their dreams were laying smashed at their feet. Both Joseph and Mary, I'm sure, were struggling with this news, and I'm sure both of their families' dreams were shattered and smashed too. How many of us feel like Joseph? Have your dreams been shattered this year? Maybe you've lost your dream home. Maybe you just can't get ahead or stay ahead. Maybe your health is a concern right now. Maybe you're dealing with depression or doubt or fear or anxiety. Maybe there's a relationship in your life that has been broken beyond repair. Maybe your dream job has just been eliminated and you're unemployed. We are living in a time where dreams are being shattered right and left. And it's not, maybe it's not your turn on the chopping block. Then you know someone. Maybe you know someone who's going through this. Maybe you have a relative whose dreams have been shattered. Let's talk about God's encounter. We talked about Mary's encounter. We talked about Joseph's encounter. This story is told by Daniel Webster when he was in the prime of his manhood. He was dining with a company of literary men in Boston. During the dinner, the conversation turned upon the subject of Christianity. Mr. Webster frankly stated his belief in the divinity of Christ and his dependence upon the atonement of the Savior. One said to him, "Mr. Webster, can you comprehend how Christ could be both God and man?" And Mr. Webster promptly replied, "No, sir, I cannot comprehend it. If I could comprehend it, he would be no greater than myself. I feel that I need a superhuman Savior." Friends, we do need a superhuman Savior. The miracle of love demonstrated in the incarnation is beyond our imagination. Incarnation literally means enfleshment or embodiment of flesh. John in his gospel put it this way, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The Father had told his Son he would send him to sleep in the attic with only bread and water for his supper if he broke the laws of the home once more. The child disobeyed again and was sent to the attic. The father could not eat. He had the boy on his mind and his heart. His wife said, "I know what you're thinking, but you must not bring the boy down from the attic. It would cause him to disobey again. He would have no respect for your word. You must not deepen your relation as his father by failing to keep your promise." To which her husband replied, "You're right. I'll not break my word. To do so would cause my son to lose his respect for my word." But he was so lonely up there, he kissed his wife goodnight, entered the attic, ate bread and water with the son, and when the child went to sleep on the hard boards, his father's arms were his pillow. He knew no sin who suffered for the sinner. That's what Christ does for us. God with us. So what? Let's talk about our so what for this week. Do you really believe this good news, Emmanuel, God with us? We talk about Emmanuel. We sing about Emmanuel. We read the passages, especially this time of year, about Emmanuel. During the time when trouble with the communists was first beginning to be a problem in China, two missionaries were returning from a teaching trip when they were captured. It was Christmas Eve, and they had been hurrying, hoping to spend Christmas Day with their families. The captors stripped the two men of all their belongings, including their Bibles, and they put them in a small room together, forbidding them to speak to each other. The men did not know whether they would be allowed to live through the night, whether or not their captors would kill them. They were worried for their families who did not know where they were. The night passed, and early on Christmas morning, one of the men had an idea. While the guard was looking the other way, he pulled bits of straw out of his mattress and spelled out the word Emmanuel. His best friend looked at the letters, and his face lit up. It just started to glow. Emmanuel, God with us. God was with them even in prison. This communication lifted the men's spirits, and they were able to wait out the remainder of their imprisonment in peace and joy. After the men were released and reunited with their families, this Christmas became their most memorable. They learned the importance of Christmas is not that we are with families, although that is wonderful, but it is that God is with us. That is the entire reason that Christmas is so joyful. That's why we have hope. That's why we celebrate love. God sent his Son to earth to be with us. Do you believe that God is with you? Emmanuel, God with you. God with me. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. An angelic visitation to Zechariah gives the gift of hope. Angelic visitations to Mary and Joseph spell out the gift of love. Mary, don't be afraid. Joseph, I know this isn't what you planned. Mary, Mary. Name the baby Jesus. You shall call him Emmanuel. God with us. God with Mary. and I am with you. The so what for us today is the same. Put your name in there. It's going to be okay. I know this isn't what you have planned. I know you don't have a clue why this is happening, but the baby's name is Jesus. He will save you from your sins. You will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Listen, I don't know what you're facing, especially during this Christmas season. I don't know if there's medical issues, financial issues, relationship issues. I don't know if you're lonely. I don't know if you're afraid. But the gospel message is, do not be afraid. Emmanuel, God with us. The gift of this second week of Advent is love, which God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son to be with us. Whoever believes in Emmanuel, whoever believes in Jesus, they'll never perish. My prayer is that you'll ask Jesus into your heart this Christmas, that you'll really invite him to be at your table, to dine with you, to be with you forever. Listen, it's a simple prayer. You just have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. You say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Lord Jesus, I need you in my heart. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. Forgive me for my sins and help me to see that you are with us, that you are with me, that you are never going to leave me or forsake me. That's a simple prayer. You can say it. Ask Jesus to be in your heart. I remember it was January 18th, 1981, when I got on my knees in my bedroom in northern Illinois. The snow was blowing, and I asked God to be my Father and Jesus to be my Savior. You can do that too. It's never too late. It's never too late to believe in the hope of Emmanuel. It's never too late to believe in the love of Emmanuel, God with us. Let us pray. Emmanuel, God, during this second week of Advent, pray that you would prepare my heart and my life with your gift of love. Open my eyes and heart to the many gifts of love I already possess in my life. Help me to be more like Zachariah, Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth. Help me to trust that your plan for my life is better than my own plan. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know that God loves you, and so do I, and I pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you. I pray the Lord would make his face to shine upon you. I pray that the Lord's grace will be enough. Listen, if you're struggling this Christmas, email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship, and I'll pray with you. I'll pray for you. I'll pray that you'll know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. There's a old Christian singer, I don't know, maybe you've heard of him. His name is Michael Card, and he's got a song called Emmanuel. There's a lot of Christian versions of Emmanuel out there. I pray that sometime during this Advent season, you'll turn on some Christmas music and listen. I pray that you'd listen to Emmanuel by Michael Card. Listen. I love you. God loves you. You're not alone. Know that Emmanuel, God, is with us. God bless and have a great week. See you next week.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website. TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.